Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, this is Anthony from A Matter of Truth. I just wanted to take this opportunity at the top of the episode to talk about a great Instagram account, a great Instagram store. They are called Bible Map Store, all run together. Look for them on Instagram, follow them. What they offer are just beautiful Bible maps for study and for decoration. They have a great selection to choose from, and they really are just a great resource for teaching and for studying. And guess what? They offer free shipping. You can't beat that, right? So they recently sent me their brand new release. It's Paul's Missionary Journeys. It's a beautiful map, and it includes the three journeys plus Paul's journey to Rome. And it looks amazing. I'm super excited to put it up, hang it up in my office here. So again, grab your Bible map, find them on Instagram, Bible Map Store. So once I post the pictures of my map that they sent me, I'm going to post a promo code, and it'll give you 30% off of their new release, Paul's Missionary Journeys map, and you'll get 30% off plus free shipping. You can't beat that. So truly appreciate it. God bless. Check them out. Bible Map Store.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another new episode of A Matter of Truth. I am your host, Pastor Alex, and I am the one actually kicking off the show this week. I've got Anthony on the mic with us.
Yes, yes, yes. How's it going, Alex?
Oh, you know, this is actually pretty cool because this is now two episodes this year, and it's not even the end of January.
Yeah, well, close to the end of January, but we said last month we were going to get on the stick, and we were going to get some these episodes out monthly. Could come in the beginning, could come at the end, could come in, you know, the middle of the month. But I don't know. That's kind of the surprise of it all. Well,
that is.
So, yeah, we're committed to getting these out monthly, though, moving forward, for sure.
Right, right. And I think people kind of like that because it's one of those, like, when's the next one going to release? It's kind of like, you know, you get into, like, your favorite show. Even though you know your show is always going to be released on that next, on that, you know, specific day, it's like you wait in anticipation, right?
Yeah.
And I hope we have a couple fans out there that do that for our for this podcast.
And I also like the streaming services that actually they'll dump everything in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And I don't know of anybody who actually does that within this platform. I don't know if you are familiar, but it's a cool concept, but I don't think
it'd be done. And I think a lot of it is because of, you know, maybe the Bible Dingers could pull something off like that because they do they do all their stuff in the series.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Or in a season. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They could probably pull it off. But I think with a podcast versus like a TV show, people generally listen to it in their travels to work or they're at their gym or they're on a walk.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you're listening to it just chilling in your office at home.
No, agree.
But it could happen. And so whereas like a television show, you know, you've got time in the evening where you're just like, I'm done with everything. I'm going to plop down and binge for the next 6 hours.
Yeah.
You should probably listen to a podcast when you do that.
Yeah. When I was commuting to work, I used to listen to tons of podcasts. Yeah. It's just easy. Go and hit the button, you listen to podcasts, and you know, now I telework, so it's a little bit different. I got to find the right timing to, you know, to focus and get in throughout the day. So it's a little bit different now.
Well, I'm the same way. Before I moved to Iowa, I had a 35-minute drive to work every morning and then 35 home. And if you got caught in traffic, you know, it was a perfect time to catch catch a podcast or
very true.
Listen to a book and
and
really just unwind. And now I walk to work, which is about 20 feet from my house.
That's awesome.
And that's only when I need to go to the church for something. Otherwise, I work in my office here in the home. And I personally like listening to podcasts, and I like the banters, and I like, you know, the a lot of those shows out there. But I cannot listen to a podcast while I do work.
No way. I can.
Yeah. So I have to be kind of in a mindless state if I'm driving or if I'm at the gym or something like that, like where my attention can be okay if I'm paying attention to something that I'm hearing.
Yeah. Well, I can listen to sports podcasts when like I'm working out because I don't have to really 100% focus. Mm-hmm. But if you think about podcasts, I mean, they're a lot like sermons, you know, when you listen to really good ones, you want to submerge yourself into it. You want to take notes. And that's what you do at church. If you're doing your due diligence, you're listening to the sermon, you're following along in scripture and you're taking these notes. So, podcasts, you really can learn and grow from just like sermons. Good podcasts, mind you.
Yep. And, you know, I think as a pastor, I'd be pretty distraught if I saw somebody bring like a computer in during a sermon and they're sitting there typing away.
Really?
I think I would probably get a little upset with that one. Now, really? I think, because I mean, it would be, if they were taking notes, maybe. You know, because like in a college class, there's a lot of people that take notes, you know, as the professor's talking. But I don't preach sermons in the pulpit that are exegetical deep dives to where taking notes is a must. I save that for my teaching on Sunday nights during the Bible study. So, but even then, I don't have people who come and bring and take notes. They just sit and pay attention and stare at me and then ask me crazy questions that I have to come up with answers to.
At my church, I mean, there are people that bring in iPads. You know, they take notes throughout the sermon. And I'm on my phone, actually. I use the Bible on my phone. I use Logos. And I take notes all within the app. And that's just works for me. It's all right there in my hands. And I can easily go back and forth. So it might look like I'm on my phone, but I'm really not playing around my phone texting people. I'm actually, you know, going through taking notes and following along with the sermon. So that just works for me.
Yeah. The last church I was a member at, we'd bring our Bibles and I had a journaling Bible. So I just took notes in that.
Yeah.
But then there were times that I had my phone and I'd follow along on my phone. But most of the people in my congregation are older. They don't care for any of that stuff. So
if they saw somebody with a computer or an iPad, they walk in.
Yeah, they'd probably be as distraught as I would be.
They'd be like, "What's going on here?"
You know, like I'm over here preaching with candlelight and fireplace, and
old
these people
school.
Bring in their flashy technology.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the way everything's shifting now. It's a matter of just getting used to it. And really, you'd rather see that, the technology, than somebody falling asleep in the pew or in their seat.
Oh, yeah.
Dozing off, right?
But so, you get that, too. And that's kind of a unique hurdle to cross is some of the, you know, people closer to the end of their lives than the older ones. They struggle.
It's real life, man.
You know, you pump them full of coffee in the mornings. And some of them are pretty wired, but you can catch every once in a while a drifter, and it's you definitely have to leave your ego at the door
for sure.
You know, you cannot go in there expecting everybody to be white knuckled, paying attention to every word.
Yeah,
you know, because there's just going to be people who will flat out fall asleep.
Yeah,
and that so
it's real life.
Oh well, so we got. We got some topics
we're
going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And so if those who listened to this remember, about a month ago, we put up a question box on Instagram and we were fishing for topics. And we had a lot of really good answers or suggestions, I could say. And we could have gone with this, and we probably may actually touch base on some of them in the future. So if you gave us a suggestion and we're not going to touch on it in this series, hold your horse. We'll get there probably fairly soon, because there's a lot of really good ideas out there. And then there are just some of you guys who are goofballs trying to be, you know, the next Adam Sandler. So, but why don't you introduce this new series for us, and we'll kind of do an intro on it for this episode.
Okay, sounds good. So the topic that came to us, not really in question form, but it was more of a statement: evangelicals deconstructing. So we're going to cover the topic deconstruction, and it's a part one of, like we said, a multiple series. And I think it's a great topic. It's something that's very relevant to today. It's probably been going on since the beginning of time. And we're gonna unpack that. And
yeah,
I know a lot of people know what deconstructing is, but we're going to look at it in the terms of the context of the type of deconstructing that could be happening in someone's life. We know that it is it's a philosophical term, and it's one like these other philosophies. It's come out of postmodernism, and it celebrates, you know, human autonomy, and it's based on, you know, the truth of yourself, of a man. So we'll cover it from the standpoint of what it means to deconstruct from the Christian faith. Because there's different contexts, like we said. What do you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and here's another just kind of random dumb fact that I came across. So evangelical and like deconstruction, it's been like hashtag like 22,000 plus times or something.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a trending thing, like I said, and it's something that is on the uptick. It's on the uprise. As people want to redefine God and redefine the Christian faith all on their own, on their terms. So you go ahead and you start and kick it off and how we're going to break it down.
Okay. Well, just to get people's like mouth watering, if you would, we do have some shows in this series planned out. We could go as many as six or more episodes, but we'll just kind of see how the apples fall. Our premise is to keep the shows to about a 30-minute time window. And so there's probably going to be two shows per major topic, because these are things that, you know, Anthony and I could talk about forever in a day. So we are going to obviously take today's show and we're going to look at kind of just an intro, a generalization of this series. And then next time we will meet and we'll be talking about the evangelicals who deconstruct. And we will kind of use that to deep dive a little bit into some of the theologies that are being taught in these churches. And we'll talk about why it's pretty easy for these people to walk away from the faith versus maybe some who grow up in more of a strict liturgical church. So we'll talk about that. And then the next topic in the series, again, like I said, these could take two episodes or so to do, but the next topic will be the evangelical movement. And this is pretty hot because people have made like Instagram pages and have made this a big platform, and they use the language of deconstructing, but they kind of shift it towards in their eyes, they would consider to be an orthodoxy type Christianity. When in reality, they're kind of way off the spectrum in terms of what orthodoxy is. So we're going to talk about that, and then we'll close out the series. And again, we might add stuff to it, but right now this is where we're looking at. And then we're going to close the series out with deconstructing to a true biblical faith. And that's kind of a statement slash question, because is it possible for somebody to quote unquote deconstruct, but then fall into a right biblical construct of faith? And so we'll handle that. And then we've got you know, all sorts of different things that we'll be touching base on. And we'll probably talk about, you know, these pastors who deconstruct, and we'll talk about some of those big time authors, the musicians, and we'll certainly do our due diligence for you in this series. And we obviously would always preference it with that this won't be an exhaustive series on this topic, and it won't be able to, you know, hit every hammer blow to it, but we will certainly do our best to cover these topics in a as, you know, closely focused view as we can. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think that is a great outline. I think you hit it on the head. It's not going to be an exhaustive look into it. And I was just telling you before we hopped on the mic that, you know, mm-hmm. it's a lot of people believe you can't actually define it. It's so right. I get it. And we're going to do, again, in the context of the Christian faith, that's what we're going to look at. And, you know, just I jotted down some notes. And so if we look at deconstruction, you know, faith deconstruction as it's, you know, it's on the internet, what people believe it to be. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that. So the phenomenon of people who they're trying to rethink, they are reexamining, you know, the belief system that, you know, whether they grew up with it or the one that they're currently in altogether. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's an interesting thing because it goes to, you know, I think ultimately, you know, we hear about it as in a very negative way. And you touched on episode 3, you know, you think of it in, there's the positive side, deconstructing to a true, you know, orthodoxy biblical faith. So, So we're going to kind of go from, you know, kind of what it is high level and some thoughts to, you know, I guess there's absolutely a positive way to look at it. And that goes to the range of meanings. And, there's a podcaster, Alyssa Childers, I think is her name. Is that how you, am I pronouncing it right?
I believe okay. so.
So she defines deconstruction as, and I noted it here cause I saw it come across and I jotted down the quote. The process of systematically dissecting and often rejecting the beliefs you grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that ultimately deconstruction is supposed to look at what you believe, right? Why you believe and, you know, and understanding it. What I think is ultimately of concern is the, you know, what I said earlier, you know, just a second ago, what is the critical consequences to that and based on what you're deconstructing to.
Right. And I think too, we should also take on this kind of notion of what, you know, I think a big focus can be the deconstructing from what to what. And, you know, with a lot of these people, they would blame the denominational churches that they grew up in. And I'm using the air quotes here. And they would say, well, and I'll use Lutherans as an example. They'll say, well, you know, the Lutheran church, it's just all legalism. And all I did was had to do works and they, you know, or whatever they're going to harp on, which if you go to a Lutheran church and you hear the preacher pounding you on works, you're not really in a Lutheran church. Yeah. So it has to be one of these things that we really pull the onion peels back because there's probably something happening at some point in that person's life that is causing them doubt and fear and uncertainty when it comes to their faith. There's no assurance, and this is the easiest way to deconstruct, to walk away from whatever they were taught as they were children or young adults or whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to add on to that. I mean, I think you see in scripture, we're taught to think critically and to weigh all things against, you know, against scripture. So we are taught to question. And I think it's natural, especially when you come into a true orthodoxy, Christian faith, if you will, that, you know, you are going to ask questions, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And you're going to say, I just don't know about this. I'm not sure about that. You know, and people view that as, well, are you doubting? Well, there's going to be some natural, I think, doubts. We're human. But yeah. Again, it's where are you going to for your answers? Where, you know, what are you searching for your answers? Or if you're going to a secular, the secular ideology, if you're turning to, this postmodern, philosophies and things, you know, it's an opening for Satan.
Yep.
Ultimately. And the Christian deconstruction movement, it's anything but Christian. And I think we have to look at that, and we have to meet it head on, you know, mm-hmm. because I think one of the things that bothers me, and I struggle with this, with the sense of, you know, things bothering me and kind of spins me up, and I need to let those types of things go, but I'm trying to do better at that. But you mm-hmm. have people, I see people who've built their fortune, their fame on the crucified Christ.
Oh yeah.
They have millions of fans, millions of followers. And then, you know, they move and they deconstruct to a worldly ideology of tolerance, of universal mm-hmm. love. And,
yep.
And they marginalize, they start this process of marginalizing the biblical Christ as just another way to heaven. And it's mm-hmm. not really the only way.
Yep.
So it's not really new. If you really right. think about it, if you study scripture and you go to even just simple 101, you look at how Satan assaulted Adam and Eve in the garden. I mean, right? That's really kind of the start of it, you know, in Genesis 3:1.
Yeah. Well, and two, you know, I want to name a particular artist here, Lauren Daigle. She was a big time, and she still is a big time Christian artist, quote unquote.
Right.
But when she was coming up kind of in the scene and new to the world, she made good music. She's got a beautiful voice.
Absolutely beautiful voice.
She did some wonderful music, but then, you know, her fame kind of blew up, and it was one of those things like she couldn't, you know, stand and testify against her faith because she was fearful that she would lose fans. And those things are really the starting pieces to how some of these people, you know, might drift away from their kind of Christian identity. And now she just sees herself as being a kind of a pop star, but with a little bit of some Christianese to it. And we've seen a lot of that happen, especially in the music side, where these artists will find that they can make some good money being Christian artists, but they can make even more money if they just stop talking about Jesus.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's amazing that they have, you know, they're deconstructing away from the truth of scripture, which mm-hmm. we know is sufficient.
Right.
And they all, I think what gets me is they all act like they have some kind of new revelation that makes them philosophically like more enlightened. Yeah.
It's called Gnosticism there.
Exactly. And yeah. It's just a movement rooted, it's a movement away from God. Because, and this is, I mean, look at every single one, because it's rooted in emotions, feelings, yep. and ultimately rebellion is what it is. Because most of them end up doing, if they haven't deconstructed to atheism, which there's a large portion of folks that have done that, mm-hmm. a lot of them, like Lauren Daigle, Kevin Max, who's the other one recently? She's not, I don't know that she's deconstructing, but she's introducing doubts about what God says in his word, is like Amy Grant. That was the big one that recently mm-hmm. hit. My mom was a big Amy Grant fan.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
But what they're doing is they're going to redefine God and his word
right.
to their own liking. And that's the beginning of, yep. you know, it can reach a point where you end up like a Josh Harris.
Yep.
And that's a problem.
Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah.
It's a massive problem. I asked my students in confirmation a couple of weeks ago, if you could make your own God, what would you, how would you make him? And, you know, some of the kind of connected answers were happy, joyful, loving, caring, you know, always this and feel good. And it's, and like, that's great. But we also forget that justice needs to happen because this world is broken with sin. And if we have a God that's just all frolicking through the flowers, happy hippie style, you know, creator, there's going to be no justice served for the injustices that occur in this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that scares a lot of those evangelical people who have either left the faith completely or have quote unquote deconstructed to create their own God and their own image. And they're doing nothing different than what, you know, Moses did in, or the Israelites did to Moses in the desert when he was up on Mount Sinai. They make a golden calf because they're like, we should worship this. You know, it's no different than that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a dismantling of one's understanding of what it means to be a Christian,
yeah.
You know, evangelical. I know that term is so, you know, I don't even like using that term, but, you know, and in a lot of cases, it's really a person, like I just mentioned, they want to create their own God. It's a refusal to recognize scripture as authoritative.
Yeah.
And they don't want it. They don't want a God telling them, God's telling me this, and I don't want that kind of God. And they're like, well, my God is love, my God is accepting, and my God is tolerant, and my God, you know, would never do these atrocities that the Catholic priest, and look at all these pastors who were cheating and they're with other women and you know, all of this stuff. But it's like, wait a minute. We're in a sinful, fallen world. You should expect that to happen. And moreover, the issue is putting your pastor or priest or anybody on a pedestal like they are God and not weighing what they're saying as you go, as you're learning, you should be being discipled and holding them accountable in a loving, godly way.
Yep. And, you know, it's one of those things for people that it strikes a nerve when you talk about, you know, God's commandments, because if we have, and this, I'm going to kind of give a spoiler, if you would, on the show, and I don't think I've really even told you my idea yet, but when I get done with my master's, hopefully by the end of February, one of my ideas for a book is to take this concept of law gospel and explain it in a manner that people in the church can pick up and read and understand. And I'll tell you off site, you know, more of my idea in depth. But for the show's sake, if people had a right understanding to be able to distinguish between law and gospel, they wouldn't have to deconstruct. They could then say, yeah, my pastor is a whack, or this church is not a church for me, because they can see when it's all legalism.
Right.
And there is no gospel. And that's what 99.9% of these deconstructionists are going through, is they're leaving some sort of legalism, some sort of law-based church, and they're going to a lighter law-based church, something that's a little less, you know, angry, if you would, more affirming.
Yeah. And I mean, there's also the group of, you know, that they've had a loved one who was sexually abused, things like that. Mm-hmm. And that causes them to, quote,
trauma.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yep. Trauma.
Those are, in my opinion, those are a completely different issue within the church than the social media deconstructors.
Agree. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. These people who have been abused or have experienced that is a very delicate and personal situation. And those are, I certainly think in this series, we could certainly touch base on maybe how to handle that from a pastoral standpoint. But I want mainly to hammer out these, you know, the social media people, you know, or the celebrities or, because everybody now has a platform, right? Everybody's a performer. Everybody's got, you know, the look at me moments. And the big hot ticket is to deconstruct, because, you know, everybody's doing it. So,
Well, yeah, and it's the cultural influences that people are letting in, wide open door, you know, are, you know, a huge issue within I think the faith, because you don't nowadays with, you know, and woke, not woke, mm-hmm, you know, everything, mm-hmm. They are like, well, I don't want to be seen as looking like this, this type of Christian, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, and they view it as, like you were kind of outlining, this legalistic, when, you know, I think what it is they don't understand anything about, number one, about church history. You and I talked a little bit of that via text, mm-hmm. you know, having an understanding about church history and our fathers, the first church fathers, who were the apostles, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So they don't have an understanding of, you know, what's outlined in scripture. And you and I also talked about maybe digging into, you know, Paul, where we get a lot of the Pauline theology, you know, he's talking to churchgoers.
Yeah.
And the issues with what's being let into the church from their former lives.
Right. Yeah. And one big issue churches fail with handling properly is the Pauline epistles, because at a first glance, it's going to feel like it's nothing but legalism.
Right.
It's nothing about a bunch of laws and do this and do this and do this, and this is how you're supposed to be. But it's, I was watching this video with my confirmands last night, and I thought it was kind of interesting. They make this comment that, you know, in the Old Testament, you're given all these laws and commands, and then in the New Testament, you're just told how to live your life like a good, perfect Christian. And it's, you know, it's the same thing. And, but to rightfully understand and distinguish and dissect those to see, okay, what is Paul really telling us? And is this a command that, you know, would be a benefit for me? Is this, you know, something that is demonstrating my freedom in Christ, you know, or is this simply something that's a cultural, and Paul's just dealing with a situation in the church? Because that's another thing people I think fail to realize, is especially like head coverings and stuff like that. Paul's dealing with real world situations in a real world church in a real time period.
Right.
And yes, I fully agree that scripture from Genesis to Revelation can be used at any time in history, no matter how simple civilization is or how advanced they are. But we also have to understand that there are cultural passages and things that are talked and demonstrated on, you know, from that particular view. Like if you go to the Old Testament, you're going to probably see more things on, you know, slavery and, you know, and treating of certain peoples in certain manners. Then you do, you would never see that even in the New Testament, nor would you see that in today's culture. But those are relevant in the framework of what they are talked about in scripture.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when, you know, you have Old Testament scripture where God said, go, you know, and says, go destroy every man, woman, and child in this.
Yeah.
I mean, and people, you know, you hear people say, well, that's not my God. It's like, wait, yeah, it's exactly. It's the same God. You got to understand, you know, how to look at scripture. Absolutely. With deconstructing, you know, a lot of these folks, they don't dive in and they don't grow in the faith, and mm-hmm. they let in this cultural element, and it's crazy. It's like something like LGBTQ, which is the mm-hmm. next that is absolutely the next huge thing. I mean, you have the Pope just recently saying it is, oh my goodness, I'm going to get this quote wrong, so I shouldn't even say it because it wouldn't be appropriate. But he mentioned something about homosexuality and it being unjust. Oh, I cannot remember, so I won't even say. But anyway, mm-hmm. this new Pope guy, or he's not new, but you know, he's full on liberal, and you know, again, he's just, you know, casting kind of this idea that it's not so bad. Homosexuality is not really, you know, a bad thing. He said something to the effect that God accepts all of they're all His children, and it's just mm-hmm. the way things are framed. It's just very, very, you know, it's Satan, and this is Satan's ploy. This is what he's using to pull people away from biblical truth, you know, the scripture, in God's word, And I love what Matthew Henry says. He says, Satan teaches men first to doubt and then to deny, right? And that's what, I mean, ultimately, that's what deconstructing is. Something has happened. You've come across something that you're like, well, I'm going to, you know, this doesn't align with my cultural feelings.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I'm going to move away from it. You know, that's not my Jesus. That's not my God. So I want to say one thing. I know we're getting to the mark, and I'm going to let you kind of close out some things and some thoughts. But, you know, the deconstructing away from Scripture, away from the biblical God, away from the biblical Christ is absolutely deconstructing to a false religion. And it's putting yourself on the wide and destructive path. You can't convince me otherwise. It's Satan's ploy. It's what he wants to do, and it's so important for people to understand that, you know, your feelings are not truth. God's word is truth. You know, our feelings are wrong like 99.1% of the time, and we're so like wrapped up in our emotions and feelings, and we make. You know, that's the fallen world, and that's why we have to lean on a good and righteous and holy God.
Yep. And so to wrap it up, because again, we're going to try to keep it right around about 30 minutes for you. I think the shortened shows have really helped Undying Lights kind of platform take off, and that way you don't have to listen to me drown on at least for an hour. But I think there should be a motto that we're going to make for this series, and you kind of touched it in one of your previous segments earlier in the show, is how you think that how you don't like the word evangelical because people have made it into this just kind of a grotesque use.
Yeah.
And so the motto that we should make for the show is make evangelical orthodoxy again.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
I mean, John the Apostle is called John the Evangelist. And so if we take that and make it orthodoxy again, we can resurrect this term and apply it in a proper manner, even when those on the outside of the church want to, you know, badger against it, we will stand strong. So
I like that.
Yeah, so that'll be our motto. But yeah, I really couldn't agree more with anything you said on that last part, because it really does. It's all about Satan drawing that doubt into one's ear. Did God really say? And for those who are lighthearted, you cannot just read a passage and then be all upset and distraught that, you know, especially when God commands Israel to do something that would be like killing another nation or purging another nation or God's wrath against Sodom and Gomorrah, or even in Jonah when God says, go to Nineveh or I'm going to destroy him. You know, all of these things, there's deep and complex theology tied to it.
Amen.
And the goal for any preacher is to handle that in a manner that the congregation can hear and listen and understand. And for this podcast, I think, you know, we can certainly deal with some of these topics and help explain them in this series, so that way you can maybe hopefully hand this to somebody who is in that process, and they can maybe bring in a little bit of reassurance back into their life.
We should be encouraging each other to be deconstructing within our faith to orthodoxy, to biblical truth. We should be. Absolutely. That's what we should be deconstructing to, and shedding all of the stuff in the garbage that we bring in from our former self. You know?
Right. Yep.
And I'll close with that, because that's exactly what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. That's exactly what he's addressing. So, you know, that's what we should be encouraging, and when we use this term, deconstructing. So anyway, I'm going to close on that.
Yep. Oh, and I think that's it for the show, ladies and gentlemen. And stay tuned, because we got a lot of good content coming. But pay attention. If you do not subscribe to the show, subscribe to it so you'll get alerts when we do drop them, because there will be no rhyme or reason when it'll happen. It could happen one every 2 weeks. It could be one every 5 weeks. We'll see. So,
yeah.
hold that button down and subscribe.
Subscribe.
Get to church, you bunch of heathens. All right. We'll see you later. God bless.
God bless. Take care.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.